Serious Hockey Talk for serious hockey fans. I'm Michael, joined by my co-host Ethan Bloom.
Good morning.
And no screw-ups this time on this recording session. Fantastic. I love it. Good sir. We're here this Sunday morning, March 27th at time of recording. We'll be talking Caps, Rangers, NHL trade deadline. A lot to talk about the trade deadline. And then we'll have Shaggy on talking PHF. That segment was recorded this past Friday. Obviously, there have been some things that went down since that recording, which I'll touch base right after the segment with Shaggy is over real quick. The Rangers, the Caps played this past week. The Rangers had three games where they played Carolina, New Jersey, and Pittsburgh. And the Capitals had four games where they played Dallas, St. Louis, Buffalo, and New Jersey. And there's one common denominator in both of them. And it's not the fact that both the Capitals and the Rangers played the New Jersey Devils. It was the fact that both you and I, Ethan, were at a game at the same time, at the same day, but in two different venues.
Yes, we were.
Because you were at the Devils game in New Jersey. Mm-hmm. And I was at the Capitals Blues game in DC.
Yep.
And they both lost. You know, yeah. Let's start off with some Rangers. So Ethan, why don't you take that away with some Rangers talk, starting with Carolina?
Okay. Prior to all of that, since we didn't get to talk about the two games prior to the Carolina game.
Well, technically three games prior.
Or three games prior.
We should preface the fact that, okay,
we missed
no episode last week because I was in Philadelphia for Impact Wrestling. So if you watch Impact Wrestling and you see a guy in a Purple's Movies jersey, it's me. You know, preface. You also played Anaheim, the Islanders, and Tampa Bay the week before for the week that we did not record.
As well as we also missed the last game of that four game Western trip.
Against Dallas.
Yeah. Okay. Long and short of that, Rangers won. Apparently I am not very good with predicting wins and losses. So probably not going to do that again. However, that Western Conference trip was a 2-2, so I guess that makes up. The Blues game, again, that was a horrendous game, but it was, I have to give it to the St. Louis Blues. The Ducks game was predictable, and they won. Thankfully, however, actually it wasn't as predictable because they went into overtime. They won in overtime. But my God, looking at Panarin and Fox, just both of them just work so seamlessly together. That's when we started, going on with trades. At that point, we introduced.
We'll get Frank to Vetrano. The trade deadline a little bit.
I know. But because Vetrano becomes very important in games, so on and so forth. I just wanted to say that that's when we got Frank Vetrano from the Florida Panthers. We'll talk about that later. Yeah. Then the Islanders game. Oh. Okay, to be fair, the Islanders were healthy for the first time, and they've been on a four-game hot streak before that game. And it was a hard-hitting, phenomenal game. It was a phenomenal game. Until the Islanders sort of got a six man on the ice, and that was the officiating. There was a,
because Gary has his money on the Islanders.
That was that. Jesus, what happened was that there was a very, very weird call. I'm not very happy with the lack of call there was on when Ryan Lindgren got, you know, elbowed to the face and was bleeding. Then there was also a really, what I would call a ticky-tacky call that led to the 2-1 lead that the Islanders then took to the end of the of regulation. Sorokin, I have to admit, was very, very, with insane saves. It was just the clinic it was pretty much a goalie clinic, Shesterkin versus Sorokin, and it was absolutely beautiful. There was that. So moving on to the actual games that we're actually going to be talking about, New York Rangers versus Tampa Bay, which was pretty much a playoff game. It was a pretext and a prelude to the playoffs. Low scoring, very defensive game. Shesterkin had 16 shots in the first period on him. And there was also something of a controversial goal. But in the end, they let it. What happened was that the puck was supposed to be frozen, but they let it go. It should have been frozen, but well, what can you do? So that was Frank Vetrano's first game, and he did a good job. He's one hell of a fast skater. Basically, there was a running into the goalie by Maroon from the Tampa Bay. I was about to say Buccaneers, from the Tampa Bay Lightning, which got him some serious hatred and therefore a Ryan Reeves 5-minute for fighting. When Ryan Reeves decided to take vengeance on him at the beginning of the third. And it was just a bunch of trash talking between Ryan Reeves and Perry on the Lightning again, during the game. And you could actually see it, and they weren't permitted to give audio, even though there was some audio that came through. It was really funny to watch. Just that game ended with an absolutely beautiful one-timer from Mika Zibanejad, like by the end of the, literally at the end of the third period, which just closed out the game 2-1 for the Rangers. Now we can move on to the Carolina game. Oh my God. If there was a game the Rangers did not deserve to win at all, it was this game. Remember when I said, you know, Georgiev was struggling and not particularly doing all that well, and he lacked confidence. Well, this was definitely a confidence builder for him. I mean, there was this what happened in this game sort of, you know, boiled over to the next game too. This was a game we should not have won at any point in time, and I'm going to freely admit that the. There were a lot of shots on goal on part of the Rangers, but the Carolina Hurricanes. God, I really got to stop watching NFL Channel. 44 shots on goal, 44 saves. Alexander Georgiev shut out the Carolina Hurricanes, making 44 saves. It's just not right. That's just not, that should not be possible. That should not have been allowed. Georgiev was playing by far his best game. I think he's ever played. He showed that possibly what's been going on for the past month and a half was sort of a fluke, or sort of just a maybe something that he was trying to get over, some issue. But my God, the defense that the Rangers have just been just failed on them. Maybe it's just mental fatigue. I don't know what it is, but they just started failing in regards to defense. They weren't hustling back to cover, and Georgiev was pretty much their entire defense that night. It was not a pretty game to watch. I mean, it was a fantastic game for Alexander Georgiev, but it was just not pretty to watch. It was embarrassing. It was a win. But it was a win that I'm going to freely admit it should not have happened. It should not have happened. Anyway, Hurricanes should have won that game.
Go to the Devils game.
And that's when all those chickens came home to roost was the Devils game, of which I was at. And I don't really want to talk about that game. That was an awful game. That was a terrible game. I was live at that game with my brother and a few of his friends and his roommate. And, you know, I thought that was going to be the Rangers were practically on home ice. There were more Rangers fans than Devils fans there. Of course, that has also happened to Carolina. But what I saw was just a fantastic first period with Zibanejad goal, Kreider scoring as well. But what happened afterwards, this was after the trade deadline. I don't know whether or not this was like right after the trade deadline. I don't even think literally the day guys there were literally stepped off the plane when they stepped onto the ice for that game. So it could have been just like they had no time to practice or mesh together.
I don't buy that at all, because like Marcus Johansson, who the Capitals traded for, played in the game against St. Louis and he practiced with the team that morning.
To be fair, I'm speculating. So, I mean, I don't know what was going on. I mean, it seemed like the new players were able to, you know, play fine, and they were, it didn't seem like it was that. I don't know what was. It was just a colossal, just massive mental fatigue, I guess. And I'm not talking about physical fatigue. I'm just talking about mentally fatigue. They just were not mentally there. And one of the worst teams in the league, albeit a team that's been progressively getting better, has a lot of young players, and is without their best goalie, Blackwood, who's been injured. Nico Daws, again, was in net, and they were home, and I had Screechy McScreech right behind me, screeching. Have you ever heard somebody scream so loudly that it feels like somebody's playing on your eardrum with a timpani? Like as like if it was a timpani drum?
Probably at a concert or something, but, you know.
Yeah, it was not fun. It was really not fun.
But anyways, Pittsburgh.
Now let's get to the good game.
And you have 3 minutes to talk about this game.
All right. So three goals within the first 5 minutes from Lafreniere. Kreider with his 43rd. So at that point, he was tied for second with Leon Draisaitl and still two behind Austin Matthews. I don't know what the standings are right now, but that might have changed. With his 44th goal, he became tied with Leon Draisaitl. My mistake. Vetrano scores his first goal. Scores his second goal with the Rangers in the first 5 minutes. Trouba was just utterly beautiful, bringing the hits. This was with a Pittsburgh team without Evgeny Malkin. But, I mean...
Which apparently was like a last-minute thing, too. Like, Malkin was a last-minute.
They still had... I think he was injured. I think there was something going on.
No, they said non-COVID illness.
Yeah,
non-COVID illness. I remember seeing them post the lineup for that game.
Right, yeah, he was having... They kept on insisting it was a non-COVID illness. But still, no Malkin, but they still... I mean, it's still the Pittsburgh Penguins. There's no excuse. So that game ended 5-1. It was a blowout. Kreider getting his 44th goal of that season. Well, Kapanen did score for the Pittsburgh Penguins on a goalie screen. Then what happened was that Andrew Kopp then responded with his first goal as a Ranger. And this puts Chesty third in the league right now in terms of number of wins, right behind Vasilevsky and... I'm forgetting who the other one was. But anyway, other than that, I think we did pretty well with the trade deadline as well, but we'll get to that soon. But here's
we have like an hour segment dedicated just to the trade deadline and how our teams did and stuff like that. But the Rangers, they play tonight versus Buffalo at 5 p.m. And then they take on Pittsburgh on Tuesday in Pittsburgh, Detroit in Detroit on Wednesday. And then that is the end of March. And then they start April on Friday versus the Islanders at home at Madison Square Garden.
And I'm not going to predict any of those games because I really should stop predicting games. I'm not going to comment on whether or not the Buffalo game is an easy win or not, because frankly, at this point, I honestly thought the Islanders, when I first talked about the Islanders, you know, like, oh, they suck. And it was just starting to get hot, and then they got hot. So I'm not going to talk about
the Sabres have definitely been pretty good ever since they beat Jack Eichel. So
that definitely must have really bolstered them, but now they're, you know, now they're with the big boys. Yeah. Unfortunately, I'm not going to predict because the Rangers have been sort of.
Yeah. But anyways, lately, moving on to the Capitals. So as Ethan brought up, we didn't do an episode last week, so we'll just take care of this real quick. Caps beat the Islanders 4-3 in a shootout on the 15th. Then we decimated Columbus 7-2 on the 17th, and then beat the Hurricanes 4-3 in the shootout on the 18th. And then on the 20th, we would drop that game to the Dallas Stars. That game, I only saw the third period because I was just gotten back home from Philadelphia at that time. I'm not really going to talk about that game. I completely missed the Carolina game too, because that's when I was traveling to Philadelphia, and actually during the game, I was at Impact Wrestling at that time. So it's like, I wasn't obviously going to be able to see the game then. Tuesday night on the 22nd, the Caps took on the St. Louis Blues, which the Capitals lost 5-2. This game I was at to see. This was also John Carlson bobblehead night. So for anyone who wanted a bobblehead, you go to that game. And then 20 of the 10,000 that were handed out were actually signed by John Carlson. And no, I did not get one of the autographed ones because I'm a loser. But hilariously, though, so I have a little bit of time to tell this story. So I had a spare ticket to the game because my friend Arian was supposed to go with me. And then he moved to St. Louis, which is where he's from. And then, so it's like, now I'm scrambling to go, okay, who am I going to take to the game? A coworker was going to go, but then, you know, her family had a COVID scare. So she had to back out on that. So I'm like left with a ticket that I need to get rid of. Otherwise it's not going to get used. And like, so I posted in a couple Facebook groups for the Capitals and said, hey, I got a spare ticket. Anyone, you know, first come, first serve, blah, blah, blah. You know, the guy would go, how much is it? Free. I don't care at this point. I just want the ticket to be used. And so I give it to the guy. He gives it to his friend because the guy was a season ticket holder. He wanted his friend to be able to go to the game. Dude shows up. Not only does he not get a bobblehead, which the guy who I gave the ticket to said, if he gets the autographed bobblehead, he is to give it to me because as a thank you for giving him the free ticket. Not only does he not get a bobblehead, the first half of the first period, he's sitting in the wrong section. He's sitting one section over, and then he comes over, sits with me for the second half, or for the second half of the first period and the first half of the second period. And then he goes, hey, I know your friends are here, because he saw me texting Scott, who does our Devils and Kraken coverage on the website. Right. And he goes, yeah, you can let your friends know if they want to come over and just sit here, they can. And then he just buggers off. I'm like, so I text Scott and go, hey, Scott, you could sit next to me for the rest of the game if you want, because the guy just left. It's like, what the heck? So that was, but like while watching the game, though, you know, going from the ticket story to the game story, you know, the first period was probably the best period for the Caps. You know, they got two good goals, but then at the same time, like, the defense just was asleep. Like the first goal that the Blues scored, like Orlov let his man go by him, and then Carlson just kind of watched it happen. And then you had the power play goal by Ryan O'Reilly, who he was left alone off to the side of the net. So he could just tap it in. You can't blame Vinny Vanacek for that stuff, you know? So it was like, it was a little frustrating on that. And then you had another goal where Nathan Walker did that, where he was just off to the side. And then you had another goal where, you know, there was a bat, Braden Schenn was battling in front of the net and Connor Sherry fell into Vanacek and Schenn took advantage and scored. Again, you can't blame a goalie on that, you know? Guy fell on him. It wasn't goalie interference. It is what it is. And then the fifth goal is an empty netter. But like the one thing I was telling this to Scott when we were at the game was like, the Capitals are a playoff team, but they ain't a cup team.
That's exactly what I say about the Rangers. Yeah. I still maintain that.
But the thing is, though, is that like, you know, the Rangers lost to the Blues like a couple weeks ago. The Capitals lost to the Blues this past week. And the biggest thing that I saw with the Blues was they made it impossible to get into their zone.
They did the exact same thing to the Rangers.
Yeah, the Blues were playing really good shutdown hockey and the Caps just couldn't get past it. Like the Caps had some good opportunities, but they were not good quality opportunities.
No.
And then Friday night, the Capitals took on the Buffalo Sabres in Buffalo, where they would beat the Sabres 4-3 in the shootout. Just got to say, Evgeny Kuznetsov, that beautiful devil. Please tell me you saw Kuznetsov's shootout goal against Buffalo Friday night.
I got to watch it.
Okay, you need to see it. So Kuzi possibly scored the slowest shootout goal in NHL history.
He's playing Buffalo.
Yeah, well, he comes in, he hits the circle, and then he almost comes to a complete stop, and then he just kind of slowly glides forward towards Dustin Tokarski, does 10 deeks, and then scores.
Really?
Yes.
Okay, I need to watch this. I really do.
Oh my God. He completely discombobulated Dustin Tokarski. It was beautiful. And then Ovechkin would score in the third round of the shootout to give the Caps the victory. And then, of course, last night, the Capitals took on the New Jersey Devils, which the Capitals actually came back to win that one 4-3. They were down 2-1 going into the third period. They would have a 3-goal third period to take the 4-3 victory over the Devils.
Okay. I'm starting to realize that maybe the Devils truly are starting to see something going on right now. I mean, I think, honestly, that win against the Rangers on Tuesday might not have been some sort of fluke or anything like that.
They're really
meshing together.
Honestly. Well, the Devils just have a really good young core. They're just trying to get there.
They're trying to find their identity right now.
Well, it's not a matter of they need to find their identity. They need better defense and they need a better goaltending. Like Mackenzie Blackwood is not your option because Mackenzie Blackwood is a good backup, but Dawes could be a good 1B. Dawes is a minor leaguer right now. Like he needs more seasoning in the minor leagues. Like Dawes is playing out of his mind right now. And there's going to come a point where he's going to come crashing down. Like they need actual goaltending in New Jersey. They need to let Dawes stay in the minors and develop more. PK Subban ain't going to be back after this season because the Devils have already told him they're not going to re-sign him, which is a smart move because he's
very smart. He's a cap cancer. And I'm not talking about him being a cancer. I'm talking about him just being on the cap as a cancer.
Yeah, but the thing is, though, is that he ain't the same defenseman that won the Norris Trophy in 2013. You know, he just isn't.
He's old.
Those back injuries really took a toll. But for the Capitals, this upcoming week, we only play Carolina on Monday. And that's it. We just have one game this entire week. Like, we don't play again until April 3rd when we take on Minnesota next Sunday. So it's like, so we have Carolina this Monday. And I think that is also the last time we play Carolina this season because now we're getting into that stretch. We're getting into that final month stretch. We have 5 weeks or we're at 6 weeks left of the regular season before we hit the playoffs. So we got a lot of good hockey coming up, a lot of playoff implication hockey coming up now, which is important because like I'm looking at the Capitals like schedule right now. I have already closed out of the Rangers, but like Carolina playoff team, Minnesota playoff team, Tampa Bay playoff team, Pittsburgh, Boston, Toronto, Colorado, Vegas. the Islanders twice. We actually played Toronto twice. We got the Rangers, playoff teams. We play Philly and Philly, Montreal, and Arizona. Those are the only three non-playoff teams we have left to play.
I can tell you one thing, that this is the Rangers going into April are a bit mixed in terms of whether or not they're playing playoff teams. I mean, the Islanders
are not playoff teams,
they're back to where they were before everything. Well,
it's not necessarily that. It's not necessarily that. It's that, like, even though the Flyers are out of it too, it's division, and you want those division points.
Yeah.
And that's why those act like playoff games, not just necessarily because the team is out of the playoffs, but because, hey, we need those points in our division because it helps us against the likes of a Rangers or a Carolina or a Pittsburgh.
Right.
And especially, I mean, like, the game against Boston is going to matter because we're the two teams that are in the wild card, Boston and Washington. So, like,
we also play Boston, we also play Boston in April too.
Yeah. So, so it's stuff like that you got to kind of look at and deal with. But yeah, so with that, we're going to swing things over to Shaggy, and we're going to go talk some women's hockey as the PHF Isabel Cup playoffs are now underway. And ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it is now time to talk women's hockey. And as always, we are affiliated with coolhockey.com. Go to Cool Hockey for your NHL jersey needs. I have a bunch sitting in my closet, as does Dixon, Cassie, Scott, and several others here from TXHT. We're still trying to get our next guest to get the greatest jersey of all time. That is a Washington Capitals Tom Wilson jersey. Ladies and gentlemen, click the link below the little advert that we have underneath the podcast episode, and go to coolhockey.com for your jerseys. And without further ado, the president of the Tom Wilson fan club, Christopher Vasilis, aka Shaggy. How you doing, buddy?
You know, I'm never gonna get his jersey. It's never gonna happen. And yes.
But as many, that goal he scored Tuesday night was a beauty.
Yeah, it was.
It was. But we're not here to talk about Tom Wilson. We're here to talk women's hockey. We're going to recap the past weekend, which was the last weekend of the regular season for the PHF. And we're going to talk about the playoffs, which is actually going on right now. One game has been completed as of this recording. We are recording on Friday, the 25th. So we have a semifinal now officially set, but we'll talk about that in a little bit. First, we'll start with the weekend that ended the regular season. We had two weekend series. We had Boston taking on Buffalo and Toronto taking on Connecticut. We'll start with the Buffalo-Boston series. Buffalo was the home team, and they actually won both games in overtime. They won the first game on Saturday 2-1 in overtime, and then they won the game on Sunday 3-2 in overtime. Shaggy, your thoughts on this weekend series, given how these two teams just faced today, and we'll talk about that third matchup in a week in a moment.
Well, truth be told, I didn't get a chance to watch those games, but I was really happy to hear Buffalo ended their season with two wins. I talked with Nate, the GM of the Buttes, 2 weeks ago, and it's been a rough season for him and the Buttes, and it was just really refreshing to hear that they had ended their season on the high note and gathered some momentum heading into the playoffs.
Yeah. And like, I was thinking the same thing too, because Buffalo's had a really, really rough season. So for them to end the season on a high note is always a good thing for them. So, like, definitely happy for them. And Nate Oliver, who is obviously a friend of ours, you know, we've known him when he was actually covering the Buttes, to now being the general manager of the Buttes. So it's kind of a cool little journey that we got to see our friend on, and definitely a good result to end the season. And then, of course, we look at the Connecticut Whale and the Buffalo Buttes. The first game, Toronto would take it 5-4 in overtime. And that's a key thing right there. It's that overtime, because in the PHF, If you win in regulation, it's 3 points. If you win in overtime, it's 2 points, and the loser gets 1 point. So it literally makes it a 3-point game no matter what, and it's important. And then on Sunday, the Connecticut Whale would wash out the Toronto Six 5-0 to take first place in the league. And we already knew both these teams were going to get first round buys. That was a given already, but it gives the Whale complete home ice advantage in Tampa Bay, but complete home ice advantage throughout the playoffs.
Both of those games were really, really good. Like you said, the first game went to overtime, which is huge because the Six had a chance to clinch that top seed if they had gotten a regulation win. And the third period was very crazy. A lot of back and forth action. And I actually thought the Whale were going to pull that off, a win in the first game. A bit of a controversial goal for a tying goal for the Six. A call I definitely didn't agree with, and it went to video review, and I still very much disagree with it, but you know, that's the way it is and you move forward. And unfortunately, the Whale had done a good job keeping Mikaela Grant Mantis in check throughout the game, but unfortunately with 3-on-3 ice in overtime, she just took over the MVP that she is.
Yeah. And then you had the 5-0 win. Our friend Mariah Fujimagari got another shutout.
Yep, 2 in a row for her.
Yeah.
So that was a really, really good game. A very well coached game by Coach Orr, and really, really well executed by every single member of the Whale.
So, question for you, since you watch a lot more Whale than the other teams, do you ride Fujimagari in the playoffs?
No. As good as Fujimagari has done in these past few games, you ride with the goalie that's kind of gotten you into that position. Abby Ives is the unquestioned one on the team.
Right. And you know why I'm asking is because her last two games were shutouts. And it's like, so in a way, she kind of does have that hot hand a little bit.
She does. And, you know, if I'm Coach Orr, I definitely consider it for a second, but Abby Ives has been your workhorse all year long. I don't see why you would not let her play that semifinal game against, whether it be Metropolitan or Boston. It's got to be Abby Ives in net.
Right. So going into this weekend, the playoffs are being done in Tampa Bay, and I have to give it to the PHF team. Their graphics for these playoffs are on fire.
Yeah, that logo is pretty sweet.
That logo, like, have you seen the actual graphics they're using on social media for, like, the teams? Like, the team logos are in these, like, pirate flags and stuff like that. It's so good.
That I haven't seen, but I did see the logo that they had painted on center ice, and, you know, they've been killing it this year.
Well, I've been retweeting it on the TXHT Twitter, so you can easily see it on there. But no, it's a graphics game is on point. I wish I could do graphics as good as that. And people who go on TXHT know exactly what I'm talking about, because all those graphics I make myself. And for somebody who does not know anything about graphic design, I think I do a decent job with what I do.
Hey, cut yourself a break. They're pretty good.
Yeah. Although I will admit, I actually like what I did with the Isabel Cup logo, because so we're keeping the same background and setup because I just really like how it looks with the ice rink. I actually was able to make the Isabel Cup part of the center ice circle.
Nice.
And I
was able to get the handles on it.
No, it does not have handles on it. and actually somebody made a point on this on Twitter, and I can't remember who. But they said that the way this logo is, if the trophy had handles, it would take away from the logo.
You know, I think I remember seeing that on Twitter, and I think it's our buddy DF who said that.
Yeah. Yes. DF Pendries, who is actually who writes for us from time to time. Much love to DF. They are an amazing writer.
Very much so.
Yeah. But yeah, no, like, So we talked about graphics. Obviously, today at time of recording, this is Friday. It's about 6:30 p.m. Eastern time. The Boston Pride and the Buffalo Buttes played at 4 p.m. Which I don't know how many people actually got to really see that game because almost everybody was at work.
I was to say, I know I didn't because I was at work.
I know, like I actually got off work at 4, but I also had to go home and replace my headlight in my car because it burned out and I don't want to get pulled over by a cop because of a burned out headlight, you know? So
no bueno.
Yeah. But regardless, we're going to talk about this game now because this game is actually done. And then later tonight, you know, as of recording, we will have the Metropolitan Riveters hosting the Minnesota Whitecaps. And so we have the number 3 Boston Pride versus the number 6 Buffalo Buttes. And in the first period, Buffalo would outshoot the Pride 11-5, but neither team would get a goal on the board. However, in the second period, the Boston Pride would light things up. Taylor Winskowski would actually open the scoring 8-19 into the period. And then she would actually get, and then shortly after that at 14:42 on the power play, Kaylee Flanagan would score. And then at 15:14, Jillian Dempsey would score to give the Pride a commanding 3-0 lead at the end of the second period. And at the end of the second period alone, Boston outshot Buffalo 22-8.
Jesus.
So that they essentially at that point were out shooting Buffalo 27-19 after two periods.
All right.
And then going into the third period, Buffalo would outshoot the Pride 13-9. But Christina Putinha would score on the power play at 11:03. At 12:38, Teresa Vanisova would score. And then at 17:37, Mary Parker would score. And that would give the Boston Pride the 6-0 victory over the Buffalo Buttes. The Pride would have 36 shots to the Buttes' 32. And yeah, that's a tough one there for Buffalo.
Well, so in the third period, I mean, you're chasing the game, so you got to take more risks. So it doesn't really shock me that they outshot them in the third period. But yeah, giving up 3 goals in the third while you're chasing the game, it's not exactly constructive and helpful to the cause.
Yeah. And then Carly Jackson was in net for all 6 goals.
It's been a tough season for Jackson, but yeah, she should have been in net from the beginning. Like you said, she started. So got to ride the hot hand.
Yeah. And then not only that, but we'll put this out there. Boston was wearing their black jerseys and Buffalo was wearing their outdoor jerseys, which
I would. Those things are sweet.
I mean, yeah, Buffalo's outdoor jerseys are amazing. And if you're going to go out, you might as well go out in style.
Right.
And I'm not trying to be mean or anything to Buffalo because we were pulling for the Buttes because of our friend Nate and all. But, you know, we also know how dangerous Boston is.
Yeah, despite being in third place, they're probably outside the whale in 6. They're the most dangerous team in the playoffs.
Yeah, and just to put this out there, McKenna Brand in this game had 3 assists. Kaylee Fratkin had 2 assists, and Amanda Boulier had 2 assists. And along with Christina Putinha's goal, she also had an assist this game.
Well, so
had a lot of multi-pointers, and Kaylee Flanagan also had an assist. So you had 4 players with 2 points and 1 player with 3.
So in the big moments, like in the playoffs, you always lean on your veteran players. When you were reading off who scored and you said Jillian Dempsey scored, that doesn't shock me because she rises to the occasion. You want your veterans to step up, lead the way, and, you know, just take it one shift at a time and just steamroll anybody, any opponent.
Yeah. So with that said, this means that the Boston Pride are automatically going to take on the number two seeded Toronto Six, which means the winner of this next game, which is yet to be played at the time of this recording, is going to take on the Connecticut Whale. And that's either the Minnesota Whitecaps, who are the fifth ranked team, or the Metropolitan Riveters, who are the fourth ranked team. Let's talk about these two teams specific before we get into the Whale. I'm actually kind of shocked that Minnesota is as low as they are, because Minnesota has always been that good of a team. So I'm a little shocked. I'm not going to lie.
It's definitely been a bit of a rough season for them. Amanda Lavallier hasn't been, I really say this with no disrespect, she hasn't been up to the standards that we have known her to be. I mean, Thunstrom's still leading away. She actually ended up leading the league in goal scoring. But it's been a rough go for the Whitecaps.
Yeah, and I'm very genuinely surprised by it, because it's like, we've been watching Amanda Lavallier for a few seasons now, and she's usually been like a brick wall.
Right.
You know, I still remember that game where her and Sam Walther just were like stonewalling everybody left and right in that playoff game a couple seasons ago. Lavallier has that type of lights out type of hockey. And, you know, it was weird not seeing her do that. But then at the same time, you know, I think this season also felt like there's a bit too much dependency on Allie Thunstrom.
Yes.
Yeah, because like Jonna Curtis didn't have the big season that she usually has. Amanda Beaulieu left for Boston.
Yeah, that was a big key piece missing on their blue line.
And then like Audra Morrison, or as we used to know her as Audra Richards, because marriage happens, she started the heat up at the end of the season.
Well, I remember this. And it's funny enough that they're playing the Metropolitan Rivers. Huge quote I remember from Madison Packer a couple years ago: it's not how you start, it's how you finish. This regular season is over. The playoffs are upon us. It's a fresh start for both of the teams. I wouldn't be shocked if Lavallier rises to the occasion if she ends up playing this weekend.
Right. And you would think she would be the one that plays in goal for Minnesota, because she, when it does come to the playoffs, she does perform extremely well. I mean, she is a two-time Isabel Cup champion, once with Buffalo, once with Minnesota. So, you know, she's been there. She knows what it takes to win.
She does.
So you hope that she can get out of that funk. But not only that, but you also kind of hope that in a way the rest of that team in front of her doesn't fully rely on Allie Thunstrom to get all the goals scoring, because it's like you need your other players to chip in as well.
Absolutely. Got to have that depth scoring. We were talking about that 2 weeks ago. Can't just rely on one or two players. You have to have scoring throughout the lineup.
Yeah. And then let's take a look at the Metropolitan Riveters. I feel like they had a lot more additions, because like they got like Lenka Kermova from Buffalo during the offseason for free agency. This Riveters team felt very different compared to, you know, the previous team, because you don't have Soroya Tinker on this team. So, you know, what are your thoughts on the Metropolitan Riveters for this season, and then going into this matchup with the Whitecaps?
It's kind of been an up and down season for the Riveters. I remember a couple games where they'd play lights out, be the world beaters that they are. I mean, at the end of their time in Lake Placid and in the bubble, the Riveters was one of the best teams there. So this season, I think I remember saying in my preview that, what Riveters team are we going to get? Are we going to get the world beaters, or are we going to get the ones that maybe don't play quite as good as they can, and just some of those mental mistakes that they would make? And it kind of came into fruition this year. Like I said, it up and down for them. They'd play great in some stretches, and then they'd hit a stretch where things would just not break their way. So
there was definitely a point this season where I thought that the Riveters could have ended up in last place.
Yeah.
There were times this season, like when, like, you know, I'm writing up like the weekly stuff that we always put out for the league covering the games, like the mini caps and stuff like that. And I'm like looking at it and I'm watching highlights and stuff like that, cause I can't watch as many games as I'd like to, unfortunately. And, you know, these women play their freaking hearts out, you know, so it makes me feel bad that I don't get to watch it as much as I like. But like when I watch the stuff and I'm looking at it, I'm like, you know, this is a team that could have easily been last place in the league.
Yeah. Just a few inconsistencies for them this year. It's just kind of the way it's been for them.
I think they got a good stretch at the right time that got them into fourth place. Like that was like a key thing for them. The fact that happened for them. So
Ivo Mochek is a pretty decent coach. I think he'll have these ladies prepared for the playoffs. Like I said, once you get to the playoffs, it's not how you start, it's how you finish. It's a fresh slate for them. So
with that, we're going to preview now Boston versus Toronto, the rematch of last season's ISBO Cup championship game, which saw Boston beat Toronto for their second ISBO Cup. Obviously, Toronto's second in the league. They could have easily been first if they beat in the Connecticut in regulation. What are your thoughts on Toronto as overall as a team, and then going into this matchup with the Boston Pride, which is essentially, you know, your rematch from the ISBO Cup last year?
Well, I'll definitely say this. It's not the same Toronto team from last year. They definitely added some good pieces. Bringing in Soraya Tinker, I think, was probably one of the best things that could have happened to their blue line. So, I mean, like you said, they very easily could have had the first seed if they had managed to beat the Whale in regulation in the first game, or if they managed to, you know, hold on and take it to overtime in that second game. But I think heading into this matchup, Sunday for
it would be tomorrow, because Sunday would be the championship game. The semifinals.
I thought the semifinals were Sunday and the final was Monday.
No, it's
okay. So
hold on. There's a way to figure this out. I have Twitter in front of me. Oh no, you're right. That's so weird.
Whoa, recorded this day, March 25th, 2022 at 6:43 p.m. I was right.
Yes. So interestingly, March 27th on Sunday is when the semifinals are going to be. And then on Monday night at 9 p.m. when I'm in class is when the championship game is going to be. I actually thought it was going to be like a 3-day thing. It's 3 out of 4 days. Interesting. Very interesting.
So it should be a very good matchup between the Pride and the Six, if the, not this past weekend, but 2 weekends ago, they played I think Toronto ended up beating Boston twice. If those matchups are anything to talk about, it should be a very close one goal game between the two of them.
Yep. So, and then with that, we got to talk about your team, Connecticut Whale. The legend herself, Emily Fluke, on that revenge tour.
It's been a very good season for her. I did get a chance to, when I went to Connecticut 2 weekends ago, I did get a chance to do a post-game interview with her. And it was very good to talk to her. I asked her if she feels more relaxed out there, like she doesn't have to shoulder the burden like she did a couple years ago. And she said that, yes, that, you know, the Whale have four lines. They have four great lines that they just roll, and they're not relying on one or two players. Now, granted, Kennedy Marchment and Taylor Gerrard have like all the points, but I mean, they get depth scoring from Amanda Conway. Casey Anderson's had herself a pretty good year this year. M is doing really well. It's their big shot to win Isabel. If it's gonna be any year, this year is their best shot.
Yeah, Kennedy Marchment, who might I also add, at the time of this recording, she was named the player of the month for the month of March, which is a great little play on the name there. Marchment getting the player of the month for March.
Just deservedly so.
Four goals, 10 assists for 14 points in 6 games.
Leading scorer in the league for the regular season.
And setting a bunch of Connecticut Whale franchise records too.
Very much so.
So when we look at the Whitecaps and we look at the Riveters, who do you feel more confident against for the Whale playing against in the semifinals?
That's a good question, considering the Whitecaps and the Riveters are probably two of the teams that have given the Whale the most trouble in the playoffs. My first NWHL PHF game that I ever attended was a playoff game between the Whale and the Riveters, and it just so happened the Riveters ended up winning that game en route to their Isabel Cup championship. So I don't know which team I would prefer to see the Whale play. Either one of those teams will be a very tough matchup for them. Maybe if I had to pick, I'd probably pick the Whitecaps, just because I'm done seeing the Riveters in the playoffs.
Yeah. Prediction: who do you see in the Isabel Cup championship game, and who do you see winning it?
I'll be honest in saying I think it'll be Toronto and Connecticut in the finals. My heart tells me the Whale will pull it off this year. My head says it'll be the Six, but I'm going to go with my heart. I think the Whale take it this year. I think this is, they've waited long enough. It's been 7 seasons of their existence. They finally get the championship this year.
All right. So year 7's the year.
Year 7. It's 7 funny. Times, it's got to happen.
I mean, the funny thing is that when you think about it, for the Whale, the very first season, they were the 2nd seed.
I remember you telling me that.
Yeah, first season, it was Boston, Connecticut, Buffalo, and at the time, New York. The New York Riveters, before they became the Metropolitan Riveters. And so Boston annihilated the Riveters, and then the Buttes upset the Whale to go to the championship game, to which then it was Boston versus Buffalo. And we had Boston versus Buffalo for the first 2 years, and they both won a championship.
Yeah, that was the second go-round when Buffalo won. Amanda Levalier was in net for that one, right?
Yep, and I believe that was her rookie season. No, I think she was the back of the Brianne McLaughlin.
Yeah, I guess, because I think I remember writing somewhere that I think up till last season, or maybe 2 seasons ago, like Levalier had been to...
Lev was definitely in goal when the Riveters beat the Buttes, which we were at.
Yep, I remember that. I think I just remember saying like Lev had been to, I forget up to which point, but Lev had been to every championship game because she's that good.
But yeah, I think it was Brianne McLaughlin who was actually the goalie for that one when Buffalo won. Huh. I think Lev was the backup.
The more you know.
G.I. Joe. Anyways. So with that, Shaggy, where can the people find you on the social medias?
You can
where can usually... they chirp you when the Whale loses?
They could chirp me, or we could talk Tom Wilson and my disdain for him. You can usually always find me on Twitter. It's at Shaggy901516. That's Shaggy901516. You will always find me on Twitter, and I'm always happy to chat sports or anything.
All righty. So with that, thanks for coming on, Shaggy, and we're going to get back to Ethan, because we're going to be talking NHL trade deadline and what teams did and what teams didn't do, and possibly some crying in the fetal position.
Mojo's back at least, so I'm happy with that.
Hey everyone, Michael here. Just to throw this out there, we recorded the second hour of this episode today, but for whatever reason, Zoom is not converting the audio for us. So we are not going to have it on there. I do greatly apologize. So this is just kind of the quick wrap-up. You can follow the show on TXHT_hockey on Twitter, Facebook at facebook.com/TXHTHockey, and of course at TXHTHockey.com. You can follow me at the Lindenbaum 75 on Twitter, Facebook at facebook.com/X75Productions. And of course, everything is on the website. And I do the Twitch stream at twitch.tv/TheMichaelX75. And again, I do greatly apologize for the trade deadline talk not being here. We actually had a really good hour. If for whatever reason that audio does become available to us, we will release it as quickly as possible. So I do apologize, and thanks for tuning in. And next week we will have more Rangers Caps talk with Ethan and I. We'll have Shaggy on to recap the PHF Isabel Cup playoffs. And yeah. So, and again, as always, coolhockey.com is an affiliate of TXHT. Click on the link below, and if you order a jersey or anything from them, we may get a portion of the sale. So yeah, Cool Hockey is a great website. We have multiple jerseys from there, and they're just amazing. So highly recommend it. So again, txhthockey.com, and thanks for tuning in. And again, I do apologize for our second hour not converting. Like I said, if we get it converted, I will get that up and out there for all of you. Thank you, and you all have a great day, and enjoy that hockey.